Oh, wait a minute, Igor. May I look at the bottle?
What for do you want to look?
Hey, watch see if it's a vintage year. Is it?
Yes. Oh, that's a bad year.
Bad year.
Perhaps this one's better for soft Americans.
No, this is a good year.
Water. Now we will pour. You from your bottle, me from mine.
It's a democratic. Oh, yeah.
It's The Wine Crush, a show that's all about wine and the lifestyle it creates. And now, here are your hosts, Laura Lawson and Michael Ambrose.
They're back.
Welcome to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Ambrose.
And you are tuned in to the show that's all about the grape in all its glory, the mystery of the glass, and the glory of the bottle. We are on a worldwide mission to demystify wine.
That's right. And what are we talking about today, Laura?
Today we are talking about one of my favorite things on the planet, my favorite thing in the glass, the bottle, the refrigerator, the freezer, the cooler, the bin, and of course, that would be today's salute to white wine. It's because if you're not really sure what you might like, you're not really sure where you want to go, you don't know what you want to drink, we are here to take you down that yellow brick road of the world of white wine.
I see. And so what white wines are you talking about?
Oh, any and all of them. Anything that's ever led to a question in anyone's mind, I am the white wine queen. I literally do wear the Chardonnay crown. Whether you want to talk about Albarino, whether you want to talk about Chenin Blanc, whether you want to talk about Gewürztraminer,
right.
Riesling, Chasselet.
Pinot Blanc.
Pinot Gris, Pinot Grigio, Pinot Sauvignon Blanc. Oh, you name it, I will definitely talk about it indefinitely. And of course, we have to talk about the king of all white wine, Chardonnay.
Right.
So, in light of that, we encourage all of you to call in 877-4-CRUSH-1 or email us at winecrush.com. White wine drinkers, have no fear. You don't need to hide your light under a bushel. We are here to bring it to its glory today.
Okay.
Also coming up on today's show, our Napa Valley Winery chef will be here to serve up something yummy that you can make without having to spend all day in the kitchen. We'll tackle all of your calls and emails, and we'll be joined by an expert from the wine world, one of our favorite winemakers. And as always, we're full of opinions, and even some of them may be intelligent. Michael, everyone who listens to me knows how much I absolutely love white wine.
No doubt.
So I think for the benefit of you, for our listeners, and for our poor research staff, the little hamster is looking kind of tired, let's try and narrow this down, at least for this show, and focus on three of them.
Okay. I'll vote for Chardonnay.
I think Chardonnay definitely deserves a place. I think we got to look at Pinot Gris, Pinot Grigio.
Okay. And then how about Riesling?
Riesling sounds great. As most of you may know, those are three of the key white wine grapes for the wines that we are typically enjoying with summertime, with salads, and outdoor festivities. But a great question we get here on The Crush, well, what is a Chardonnay? What is a Riesling?
Right.
What is a Pinot Grigio? Number one, they're all different types of grapes. Chardonnay is a grape, Riesling is a grape,
right.
And Pinot Grigio is a grape.
And they're really different in flavors, too. They've got really different flavors.
They are. So Michael and I pretty much came to blows last week when it came to talking about standards in wine. But what we'll try and do this time is capsulize the idea of these wines. Here's an example, Chardonnay. Generally, you can expect Chardonnay to be straw yellow in color. It has a richly scented nose. It usually smells of apples or
right.
pears.
No doubt.
Or something along the lines of those hard fruits.
Mm-hmm.
They tend to be medium to full-bodied, meaning they have a fuller mouthfeel, kind of like more like whole milk as opposed to skim milk.
Yep.
And they tend to have a nice little aftertaste on your palate.
Right.
That's in a nutshell. Rieslings, generally you get citrus fruit aromas, you get a pale yellow color, and in most of them you get a hint of sweetness. They can range from very sweet to very, very dry, but sometimes you just get them a little bit sweet.
And sometimes people will refer to that as being like honeysuckle.
Honeysuckle's fair.
Yep.
The other white wine grape we're talking about is Pinot Grigio, otherwise known as Pinot Gris, and this is light. It has a mildly perfumed nose. It can smell anything from a rose to a little bit of nut to a little bit of fruit, but it's usually very dry and very crisp.
Absolutely. It's the driest of the three grapes.
It is. It's not acidic, but it is also very refreshing. So looking at it from that point of view, those are our three white wine grapes for today. We encourage you to call in, add to our list with questions or comments at 877-4-CRUSH-1 or email us at winecrush.com. We are certainly going to discuss these more in depth, but as always, we are looking to you for guidance on what you're interested in hearing.
To reach Laura and Michael, call 877-4-CRUSH-1. That's 877-427-8741. Or you can email them at this new address, info@winecrush.com.
Today we have Ron from Smyrna, Georgia. And Ron writes, a few weeks ago you were talking about standards, and you said the bottles are standard, but that's not true. There are many shapes and sizes.
And that's correct. Ron is right. There are many shapes and sizes. There are the bottles with the shoulders on them, the long skinny bottles, the bottles that look like champagne bottles, and of course champagne bottles come in different sizes. But I think there is one thing that you can look for, and that is the long skinny ones are going to be a bit sweeter. The ones with shoulders are going to be a bit drier, and the ones with sloped shoulders are going to be kind of right in the middle.
Ron, something I'm going to take up from this, from the dark side of the business, which is my side, the old wholesale background, there is a standard wine bottle. The standard wine bottle is any wine bottle that's 750 milliliters. And so if you ever hear Michael or I refer to a standard bottle, it is going to be 750 milliliters. That's your typical wine bottle that you find on the shelf. And when you look at all the different bottles there are, they have been named, actually, interestingly enough, biblically. And this is something I have studied over the course of all my different certifications, and there's mnemonic. I will give you the mnemonic at the end. But basically, you have a 750-milliliter bottle. Doesn't have a name. It's actually called the standard bottle. A Magnum is 2 750-milliliters. A Jeroboam is 6. A Rehoboam is 8. A Methuselah is 8 as well. A Salamanzar is 12. A Balthazar is 16. And a Nebuchadnezzar is 20 bottles. And remember to call and invite Michael and I to the party.
Absolutely. And Kathy called the wine line.
I'm calling in regards to finding a wine that is not tart, not too sweet with dinner, you know, for two people that don't really drink wine. Thanks. Appreciate it.
How about a gin and tonic?
Michael. Kathy, you didn't ask on your question whether you are looking for white or for red. I'm going to lean towards the white side, simply with not too tart, not too sweet. I would recommend lately a Santa Barbara Chardonnay. There's a lot of great fruit in that. They don't tend to be overly acidic. One that comes to mind immediately is Meridian Chardonnay. They do a great job. Also, Cambria Chardonnay. Neither one of them have high acid, and neither one of them are overly sweet.
Right. I think Washington State is doing really good things with Pinot Gris these days. Chateau Saint Michel, boy, they've got a knockout wine right now that I'm in love with.
For all of us who are white wine drinkers, there is finally some great news on white wine. Drinking white wine with a high carbohydrate meal reduces the post-meal rise in blood sugar levels. So, basically, the white wine lowers any kind of meal's glycemic index, which means for people who are diabetic or people who are watching their blood sugar, those people that drink a glass of white wine can balance out some of the sugar imbalances they may encounter.
There you go.
Michael, did you see this? Colorado wines, the best? Recent news sure to stir up some passionate feelings. In a blind taste test, Colorado wines outdid California's. According to the Denver Daily News, the Colorado wine industry has something to toast to. A blind taste test held recently found that wine enthusiasts preferred local wines to California varieties. This was sponsored by Colorado Biz Magazine and the Colorado Women's Chamber of Commerce. And the majority of the people picked Colorado wines.
That's quite interesting. I understand that they picked Viognier, Cabernet, and Chardonnay, and they like them better than the comparable California wines.
It goes on to say that the vineyards were chosen that had similar prices and vintages, which ensured that there were no unfair advantages to either state. Michael, I'm shocked you aren't doing backflips over there, being the Colorado boy that you are.
Well, I love the state, but I think everybody was in a Colorado state of mind when they were tasting those grapes.
Ah, well, you never know. California, take note. Colorado has thrown down the gauntlet and they are running after you. We are definitely off and rolling on our white wine tour and journey. So we encourage you, stick with us, and we will certainly venture further down this yellow brick road when we return.
I thought you were never going to call me. you did?
But I really wanted you to, and I thought you were never going to.
Do you have kids?
No.
You want mine?
The Wine Crush.
Looking for some good news at the gas pump? Chevy has seven models that offer an EPA estimated 30 miles per gallon highway or better. From HHR with an EPA estimated 30 mpg highway to the Aveo 5 with an EPA estimated 34 mpg highway and Cobalt XFE with an EPA estimated 36 miles per gallon highway. Chevy's MVPs of MPG based on EPA segmentation. See your local Chevy dealer.
Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, Chad.
What's up?
You know that Cobalt Tools commercial we just did, where I go around fixing things and in the end you ask me to get in the car?
Yeah.
Well, I just got a call from this big Hollywood agent who saw it and wants me to come in and see him.
Wow, that's great. What's he want you to do, star in a movie or something?
No, he wants me to fix a door in his office. What's so funny?
Cobalt Tools are so comfortable to use, once you start working with them, you'll never want to quit. Cobalt, the next generation of tough tools. Available only at Lowe's.
Hey-ya! Doug, are you okay?
Mark, I'm practicing my ninja moves so I can take on weeds with Spectracide Weed and Grass Killer.
Do you mean there are ninjas inside the Spectracide bottle?
Well, using Spectracide is like sending an army of tiny green ninjas to kill weeds and unwanted grass right down to the root. You see the result in as fast as 3 hours.
I see, Sensei. I'm heading over to Lowe's to pick up Spectracide Weed and Grass Killer with ninja fighting power.
Just remember, Mark, weeds can't hide from Spectracide.
There's a reason Roush Performance chooses Cooper Tires for their high-performance vehicles. Just ask Cooper Tires technical advisor Johnny Unser.
Roush tunes vehicles to reach their absolute limits. They need tires that can handle those limits, from handling to durability to safety. That's why they choose Cooper. And that same race-bred technology goes into every Cooper tire you buy, no matter what you drive.
For more information and to find a dealer near you, visit CooperTire.com. Cooper Tires. Don't give up a thing.
Bring the ball up. See the court, baby. Oh, see the court.
Let's go.
All right, see the open man. Go pass. That's
listen carefully.
Yeah!
Okay, get back.
What do you hear?
Good beat.
Yes!
Do you know what that is?
No, that's right. Okay, okay.
That's the sound of someone being there. The sound of someone caring about a kid.
Good shot. Yes! Yes! Yes.
That's the sound of a mentor. See a movie together, play catch, or just hang out. The important thing is spending time together. A little of your time means a lot to a kid.
This is Laura Bush. Help America's youth. Be a friend. Be a mentor. Just be there.
To be a mentor, go to BigBrothersBigSisters.org. That's BigBrothersBigSisters.org. A public service message brought to you by Big Brothers Big Sisters and the Ad Council.
Before the bare necessities, the simple bare necessities.
Have a banana.
Eating well.
Have two bananas.
And playing.
Come on, Baloo.
Go together like best friends.
You better believe it.
With the food pyramid, the bare necessities of living healthy are easy.
That bring the bare necessities of life.
It gives you just the right amount of grains, vegetables, fruits, milk, and meats and beans.
Crazy.
So eat right.
You eat it?
You're gonna love the way they tickle.
Be active.
I'll move. That's it.
And don't forget to have fun.
You're lots of fun, Baloo.
That's the way to be the best.
You're all right, kid.
At anything you do.
Yeah, man.
You can go to mypyramid.gov to play some games and find out more.
Me and Baloo, we've got things to do.
This has been a message from the U.S. Department of Agriculture and the Ad Council.
For all sorts of fun information about wine, go to our new website, winecrush.com. That's winecrush, all one word, .com.
Welcome back to the Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Ambrose.
And as you can tell by my cheery, happy tone, we are talking about one of my favorite topics on the planet, and that, of course, would be white wine and demystifying certain types. We are focusing today on three of my favorite varietals, and that would be Chardonnay, Riesling, and the Pinot Grigio. Michael, it's hard anytime you get together with three white wines to simply focus and describe everything. We tried to get the standard. But I think this time of year when you're looking at heat, Pinot Grigio, Pinot Gris comes to mind.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously we know about Italian Pinot Grigios.
Right.
But tell me about Pinot Gris.
Pinot Gris is really the same grape variety. I think Washington State is making some of the best Pinot Gris in the world right now. It's wonderful. You can find it. It's, as you described earlier, it's got some minerality to it, and it's a drier style. It's pretty wonderful. Pinot Grigio, of course, you can find Santa Margherita is one. You can find all of those along the northern coast of Italy. They're all very nice. They tend to be lighter in style than the ones that are made in the United States.
I think so. I think when you look at the Pinot Grigio, Pinot Gris, you have a lot of options to choose from. But ultimately, they're refreshing. They're cool.
Right.
Whether you get them from Italy, whether you get them from California. And I'm surprised you didn't mention Austria.
When I think of Pinot Gris, though, I visualize a fishing village somewhere, whether it's off of Washington State or off of in the Mediterranean. You know, you go in, you get some bouillabaisse or you get some saffron and some great tasting seafood with that. Those Pinot Gris or the Pinot Grigios just go wonderfully with it.
I can see where you'd like that because you're definitely off fishing.
Stomp them grapes and make that wine. Put it in a bottle, boys, and ship it on down.
Occasionally, we are fortunate enough here at the Wine Crush to have winemakers voluntarily decide to come visit. And we have the pleasure of having Mr. Peter Frazier. He's the winemaker for Yangara Park, and he actually blessed us with a true studio visit. So in studio today, Mr. Peter Frazier. Peter, welcome to the Crush.
G'day. How you going?
We're doing great, Peter. Tell us a little bit about where you're from.
Okay, I'm from a little place called McLaren Vale, which is down on the south coast of Australia, and it's a kind of coastal town, and we're kind of around Adelaide. It's kind of wine central.
I see. It's kind of like south central Australia, right?
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's also we think it's like the center of the wine industry in Australia. to the south of Adelaide, the town Adelaide, there's McLaren Vale. To the north is the Barossa Valley, and to the east is the Adelaide Hills. So if you want to come and see wine country in Australia, that's the kind of place to come.
I'm going to take you up on that for sure.
For our listeners who are paying attention, Peter is from Australia, and the area he is talking about is essentially the Napa Valley, Sonoma Valley, the heart of the wine country, kind of like our California counterparts.
Right.
So, Peter, we appreciate you being in the studio today. I don't think as many people have an opportunity to really talk to someone one-on-one about Australian wines as much as they would like to. So, if we can start, how'd you get into the wine business?
I wanted to be a vet, and there was no chance of that happening because I'm not academic. So, for all you non-academics, there's a chance to be scientist yet. winemaking, I'm a bucket winemaker. But I'm more a farmer. You know, winemaking's a fantastic thing because it's more about being a farmer and a producer than putting together blends and wines that people love. But getting back to actually how I got into it, I went to a wine dinner and got interested in wine, like, you know, so many of us do. And I went to a wine dinner, and the winemaker turned up. He was in shorts. He's in the middle of crush. He's covered in wine. He was half an hour late. And I'm like, wow, I could do that job.
That's great.
And I ended up drinking with him till about 2 a.m. And I was back at his winery, free labor at 6 a.m. doing crush with him. So I had a job.
I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Ambrose.
And we have the pleasure of talking with Peter Frazier from Yangara Park Winery in the studio today. Peter, we've heard a little bit about who you are and how you fell into the business, literally. Tell us a little bit about Yangara Park.
Well, I'm going to just give you a little correction on Yangara Park. When we first actually turned up, we were Yangara Park, and our actual wines are Yangara State. We actually bought some grapes and wine from various different properties when we first released our wines back in 2000. And in December 2001, we bought a magnificent property in the Blewett Springs subregion of McLaren Vale. I'm not going to go into that because it's without maps, it's pretty hard to do. But Yangara Estate is 420 acres, 240 acres of vines that's very much focused on Rhone varietals. You all know of Australian Shiraz,
sure.
And we're kind of taking that to another level and really introducing varieties like Grenache, Mourvedre, all those classic Rhone varietals that are really exciting and fun and bring a whole new world of drinking. You know, I think we're getting real familiar with Napa Cabernets and Bordeaux and Burgundy, and I think there's a real emergence of some of those great Rhone varietals we're seeing. And a fact that so many people don't know is that the most planted red variety in the old world, France and Spain, is actually Grenache.
I see. Just for our listeners, you know, Grenache, that you're saying it is Grenache in the United States, and it's Garnacha, I believe it is, in Spain. So it's all the same grape, though, right?
Exactly, exactly. And it's traditionally on those bush vines, very low yield. The ones, and there's different Grenaches too. And the ones that we're talking about are these big concentrated from old vines, the low yielding. And then generally, the wonderful things about these vines is they're so sustainable environmentally. We're not irrigating these vines. These are very sustainable part of nature. They've been grown for hundreds of years in these parts of Europe and in Australia. And Grenache came to Australia because it was a drought-tolerant variety. And the old times before irrigation and technology, that they were able to produce wines that were very concentrated and had a good longevity that they could send back to the motherland, to the UK, and you know, way before we kind of started exporting the wines around the world like we do now.
What does Yangara mean?
Yangara means from the earth. It's an Aboriginal. There's about 200 dialects. One of the dialects is you know, from the earth, and so we wanted to, you know, to us all about. Our winemaking at Yangara is terroir driven, and you know, it's quite unique. Although we're very Australian in what we do and very McLaren Vale, it's unusual. There's a lot of winemakers, and predominantly in Australia, a lot of it's blending from different regions, blending different across, even within McLaren Vale, blending across lots of different vineyards.
Hey, Peter, can you stay with us for a couple of moments?
Oh, I'd love to.
Coming up in a moment, we head to California for a great summer salad that you can make in your own home.
And now Jimmy Johnson's working on the Watson's garage door. He's got the old motor off. He's got the new motor on. The door's up. The door's down. He's gone. What do you got, Brett?
I got a stall truck here on Maple. Jimmy's got the hood up. His hands are a blur. I tell you, Doug, I haven't seen ratcheting like that in years. Now back to you.
He just finished building a new doghouse for an extremely appreciative Cocker Spaniel. Now he's wiping the slobber off. Wait, he sees a broken gate over to
school. Cobalt tools are so comfortable to use. Once you start working with them, you'll never want to quit. Cobalt, the next generation of tough tools. Available only at Lowe's.
Z-Max. It helps your car, truck, motorcycle, or boat save gas and last longer. The secret of Z-Max is micro lubrication. Z-Max penetrates deep into the metal of your engine and drivetrain where regular oil can't. Z-Max reduces heat and friction, dissipates carbon buildup, restores power, and reduces fuel consumption. Z-Max maintains mileage in your new car and improves mileage in your older car. It works. Log on to Z-Max.com to find a Z-Max retail performance partner. Z-Max. Performance you can feel.
You wanna go? All of you who wanna go to college,
wanna go?
You best listen to this knowledge. Listen. You gotta be a go-getter, cause it's hard to get there. Get up in their face, get up in their space. Excuse me, missus. You say you're my teacher, you say you're my preacher. Excuse me, mister. You act like you're large and you say you're in charge. So show me, what is it that I need? So tell me, the books I should read. Somebody hit me with the 411. There are steps to take, there's a job to be done. I want step one, step two, step three spelled out. All the info is what I'm about. So ask for help and do not stop. KnowHowToGo.org, let's ride.
That was Farnsworth Bentley with Wanna Go. For more college info, visit KnowHowToGo.org. Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation for Education, and the Ad Council.
Son, I want you home by 10, all right?
I know.
Hold on. Listen, we need to talk about drinking. You know how I feel about alcohol.
Yeah, I know.
Seriously, you're way too young to drink. I know some kids are drinking, but you're my kid. And just because they drink doesn't mean you have to.
I know.
I mean, you're still growing. You're still developing. You may think you can handle it, but you're not a grown-up yet. It's dangerous.
I know, okay?
Teenagers know everything. So talk about underage drinking before they know it all. Before they're teens.
Listen, when you drink, it screws up your judgment. I don't want you getting hurt. You could make some serious mistakes.
I know, I know.
Listen to me. This is real.
I know, okay? I know.
Start talking before they start drinking. And keep talking. To learn more about the dangers of underage drinking and what to say to your kids, go to stopalcoholabuse.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You must be your fairy godmother. Yes.
It doesn't take a fairy godmother to tell you that the right fit means everything.
Good heavens, child. You can't go in that.
Children under 4'9" need to be in a booster seat because they aren't ready for adult safety belts alone. Many parents miss the important step of booster seats.
Maybe you better explain things to him.
Booster seats raise your child up so that a safety belt designed for adults will fit and protect them properly.
Oh, that does make a difference.
Remember that 4'9" is the magic number. And get your little pumpkin there safely in a booster seat.
Hop in, my dear. Oh, thank you.
And like Cinderella, you can live happily ever after.
It's like a dream. A wonderful dream come true.
For more information, visit boosterseat.gov. This has been a message from the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
To reach Laura and Michael, call 877-4CRUSH1. That's 877-427-8741. Or you can email them at this new address, info@winecrush.com. The Wine Crush, your weekly tour of the world of wine and the people who enjoy it.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Ambrose.
And we've had a lot of fun talking about my favorite topic so far today, and that would be white wine. We are focusing today on three of my favorite varietals, and that would be Chardonnay, Riesling, and the Pinot Grigio. And now we are going to launch into my favorite of all time, of course, Chardonnay.
Your love for Chardonnay, particularly for California Chardonnay, is one where that's about as big an expression of that wine as you can find.
Huge.
They're huge. They're big styled wines.
Whip,
they're wonderful.
Chairs.
They're great appetizer wines. They stand alone. When you go over to France, which happens to be the place that I kind of like, is called Burgundy. It's the white grape in the area called Burgundy. They're leaner. The style is a little leaner. It's higher in acid because it's grown further north. And my personal opinion is that those wines that are a little higher in acid just go better with food.
So basically, if I'm looking at Chardonnay across the pond, I'm going to look for Burgundy.
You are going to look for Burgundy, and there are particular names, whether it's Chevalier Montrachet or Pellini Montrachet. Those wines are going to be expensive, but it's, in my opinion, it's the best expression of that particular grape. On the other end of the spectrum, you can go into a place called Macon.
Macon?
That's the way you pronounce it in Georgia.
Absolutely.
Or Macon is the way it's closer to the way the French pronounce it. But Macon is the place where inexpensive Chardonnay is grown in the area of Burgundy.
I think that's some of the best value right now if you're going to get into French Burgundy. What's coming out of Macon and Pouilly-Foussay is just great.
Right, that's right.
Excuse me, I have to take a phone call.
1-877-4CRUSH-1. That's 1-877-427-8741.
Copernicus called, and you are not the center of the universe.
The Wine Crush.
My name is Ray. I'm in South Carolina. I have a date this weekend, and I was wondering if I'm going to be laughed at if I use stemless glasses for a red wine. They were nice. They're made in Poland. It looked like the better plan for me because I'd probably break the other nice ones relatively quickly. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Ray, Ray, I think that's a great question. Not only will you not get laughed at, you are going to seem very cutting edge. That is the new stylish thing in a lot of your restaurants around the country. There is a crystal maker called Riedel that came out with a whole line called Riedel O's. And the Riedel O's have absolutely no stem to them. They just have that beautiful little bowl that sits on the table. So no one will make fun of you. And I think it's a great opportunity to serve some good wine.
I do too. If you ever get a chance to go to Europe and you go to these small little towns and you sit down and somebody says you want a glass of wine and you say yes, they're going to likely come out there and give you two glasses, and neither one of those glasses will have a stem. It'll just be just a small little, almost like an 8-ounce shot glass.
I don't care if you're serving wine in a Dixie cup, a mason jar, or in a full-stemmed glass. As long as you are enjoying your company and as long as you are enjoying the wine, more power to you.
That's right.
And for our faithful listeners on the Wine Crush, as you know, we are not just about what's in the glass, but we do occasionally look at what's on the plate. So for those of you who would rather eat your salad than drink it, we have invited Richard Hake. He is the chef for the Robert Mondavi Winery. He is once again brave enough to call in and join us here at the Crush. Richard, welcome to the Wine Crush.
Happy to be back.
It's always fun to find a soul who can become a recurring part and not be terrified or have to have counseling.
I had a little counseling last week.
Okay, well, that's all right. That's fine. We know that you're going to be okay. I'm okay. You're okay.
Great.
All right, so we're continuing on in our summer salute, and we are looking at different recipes. Hopefully all of our listeners very much enjoyed the watermelon salad from last week. What kind of fun, different things do you have for us this week?
Well, we're trying something a little bit different. We're going to do a fennel-crusted IE tuna salad with pole beans, once again using another seasonal product. There's a lot of beans coming into the farmer's market and growing here in the garden at Robert Mondavi Winery, and they make a great salad.
What is a pole bean?
A pole bean is any bean that...
grown on a pole?
Bush beans, and they're pole beans. So... some of the pole beans people have in their gardens this year and many years that I also grow at my garden at home are Kentucky Wonder beans, Romano beans, and, of course, the string bean.
That was going to be the one that I was going to ask you about.
Richard, tell us a little bit about what we're putting together today.
Well, we're putting together a salad using a fresh ahi tuna that we're going to sear with a fennel seed crust. Now, if you can't find some good fresh tuna, canned tuna works fine, and you can substitute the fennel seed in your dressing to get that fennel flavor.
Are you sure canned tuna goes fine with this?
Oh, you probably have to use a extra dollop of mayonnaise to help moisten the tuna, but I think it'll work well because the inspiration for this salad is the French salad, the Niçoise salad.
Right.
And this is kind of a play on that Niçoise salad.
All right. For those of you who are interested in making this salad, we encourage you to check out our website where we will have this salad and the recipe listed in detail. And you can check that out at winecrush.com.
I have already picked the wine that I think is going to go well with it. What would you choose?
I would choose a rosé with this.
Okay.
And that's, once again, my inspiration is the classic French Niçoise salad, and a lot of my training is in French cuisine.
Okay.
And as well as a little Southern cuisine from growing up in Atlanta. but this definitely reminds me of the French Niçoise salad, and I think of rosé from that area, the Bondon Tempié, but a good American rosé would go well with this as well.
Okay. How about you, Laura? What would you pair with this?
Surprisingly enough, I'm going to agree with Richard. I think people think of rosé wines as always being sweet, but there are a couple great ones coming out of California right now that have a little bit of the fruit, but mostly it's dry, it's well-balanced. Actually, Richard, one of your neighbors, Cheryl Emelo, is doing a rosé this summer that is just out of this world, and I think it'd be perfect with that tuna.
Okay, and I would say, Richard, I'm surprised that you didn't identify a wine that's coming from the Mondavi collection, and that would be the Fumé Blanc.
Fumé Blanc would be wonderful, and actually probably would use our Fumé Blanc Reserve because it has a little more body to it. And
right.
So because of the ahi tuna and its fresh tuna, not canned tuna, I was looking for a wine with a little more body.
Okay.
Richard, thank you so much for being part of the show. We are happy that you have become a devout following fan of The Crush, and we certainly look forward to having you on the show next week.
Sounds great.
Several listeners have called in and asked us along the lines how different grapes got their name. So our teaser for the week, where did the Chardonnay grape get its name?
That's a good one.
Our answer when we return.
Hey-ya! Doug, are you okay?
Mark, I'm practicing my ninja moves so I can take on weeds with Spectracide Weed and Grass Killer.
Do you mean there are ninjas inside the Spectracide bottle?
Well, using Spectracide is like sending an army of tiny green ninjas to kill weeds and unwanted grass right down to the root. You see the result in as fast as 3 hours.
I see, Sensei. I'm heading over to Lowe's to pick up Spectracide Weed and Grass Killer with ninja fighting power.
Just remember, Mark, weeds can't hide from Spectracide.
Looking for some good news at the gas pump? Chevy has 7 models that offer an EPA estimated 30 miles per gallon highway or better. From HHR with an EPA estimated 30 MPG highway, to the Avail 5 with an EPA estimated 34 MPG highway, and Cobalt XFE with an EPA estimated 36 miles per gallon highway. Chevy's MVPs of MPG, based on EPA segmentation. See your local Chevy dealer.
I'm on a test track riding in a Roush Mustang with Cooper Tires technical advisor Johnny Unser to learn why Roush Performance chooses Cooper Tires.
Wow, feel that grip?
Yeah, I felt it. Cooper incorporates what they learn at the track into engineering high-performing, reliable, safe tires for whatever you drive on the street.
Okay, time to cut her loose.
We weren't already cutting her loose? Cooper Tires, don't give up a thing. For more information and to find a dealer near you, visit CooperTire.com. Okay, seriously, I want out.
When a legend like Carroll Shelby puts Z-Max in every car he owns, maybe you should too.
I know it works.
Z-Max with micro-lubrication reduces wear on vital engine parts and increases horsepower. If you're a custom engine builder or a do-it-yourselfer, Z-Max belongs in your car. Z-Max, easy to use. One in your gas and one in your oil every 5,000 miles. Take it from Carroll Shelby.
I put my name on the line on that, and I mean it.
Log on to ZMAX.com and find a retail performance partner. Z-Max, performance you can feel.
Melting polar ice was a dirty look. Shrinking glaciers, a nudge. Dying forests, they were a tap on the shoulder. We got a finger in our chest from the rising sea level. And a sharp poke in the ribs from recent wildfires in Alaska. Then dying coral reefs and eroding coastlines pushed us. Hard. The drowned polar bears, that was a shove. Melting permafrost, that was a slap. Rising ocean temperatures and extreme weather, an uppercut. Then record-breaking heat waves hit us right where it hurts. Has it occurred to anyone that maybe the Earth is trying to get our attention?
We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution before it's too late. To find out how, go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.
If one of you drinks this, you both will be fine. Happiness, comfort, and beauty divine.
You both will be fine?
I guess it means it'll affect Fiona, too.
The Wine Crush.
Bartender, please give me a drink of wine.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Ambrose.
And you are listening to the show that's all about the grape in all its glory, and today it is about the white wine grape. But before we get off talking a little more about more white wine, we had left you with a teaser before the break. The teaser was, where did Chardonnay get its name?
I know of one of the most famous Chardonnays is called Corton Charlemagne, and so I'm going to guess Charlemagne is where it got its name.
I think it's close. Of course, you're going to want to glorify anything, but actually, you're in the region. There is a town in Burgundy in the Mâconnais called Chardonnay, and since that's where the grape is purported to be from, they just started calling the grape Chardonnay after the village.
Oh, that's cool.
There you go, your useless wine fact of the day. We have been talking about white wine. We have covered the world of Pinot Grigio. We have covered Chardonnay.
Right.
And now let's touch a bit on Riesling. Riesling certainly can get to be one of the most involved and most complicated, but ultimately Riesling can satisfy any and everyone's needs. There is a Riesling out there that will appeal to anybody, whether you're a Cabernet drinker, whether you are a Diet Coke drinker, there is a Riesling for you.
They are. And you know, there are so many different flavors that come from there. They can be stone dry. They can be just sweet dessert wines. They're pretty wonderful. Some of the winemakers have actually called that grape the wine with the most clarity. They refer to it as just a crystalline type of wine.
I think Riesling has gotten a bad knock. When you started out looking at Riesling made in California in the early 1900s, and then again when you started looking at 1960, 1970, it was just swill wine that people didn't think much about. So I think people forget that Riesling truly can be one of the most elegant wines out there.
Right.
Whether you serve it warm, whether you serve it cold, it can pretty much pair up with anything coming out of your summer garden right now. So whether you have a sweet tooth or a dry tooth, please do check out the Riesling grape. And we are back with Mr. Peter Frazier of Yangara Estate. You do some of your high-end stuff. It's cork finish, your everyday drinking stuff. It's screw caps. Where do you stand on this? What's your thought process when you're looking at corks versus screw caps?
I'm very, very passionate about this topic. So
it's,
I'm glad that you asked
good.
About this.
All right.
I passionately dislike cork.
Really?
With a great passion. Screw cap is a wonderful, wonderful seal to a bottle of wine. It basically delivers the wine exactly the way I prepared it, ready for bottling.
There's
no two ways about it. Whatever I put in the bottle, that screw cap delivers you exactly what I gave you.
You said you started in the year 2000, so you've had seven vintages. Have you been able to compare what has happened, how the wines have actually aged using screw caps? Do they age similarly to cork-finished wines?
In 2002, after we bought the estate, I started with about 30 or 40 cases of wine under screw cap, and I've got the same trialed with cork. And I'll give the example of my 2002 Grenache. The 2002 Grenache under screw cap is phenomenal, and it just defies anybody that tells me that a wine won't age and develop in screw cap. The screw cap is just such a superior seal, and there's so many myths and misnomers about cork and screw caps. And we now have turned all our estate wines now to screw cap from the 2006 vintage onwards.
That's cool.
It's a slow process because a lot of the gatekeepers within the wine industry are scared that consumers are wary about screw caps. So mm-hmm. we have to kind of listen to them, and slowly we just tap away, and eventually we introduce more and more. And I had an interesting issue when I sent some samples to a wine writer recently, and all of my estate wines were in screw cap, and we just released a High Sands Grenache, which is our pinnacle wine, and it's in one of those big heavy bottles with a big cork, and of course that was the wine that was corked.
Of course.
And he said to me, you know, I don't understand why you put your best wine under cork and the other one, you know, your very best wine under cork. Why don't, you know, you're kind of nearly saying to me, well, it's not good enough for your best wine. And I keep trying to say to people that are involved in that push back on us that right. sell our wine around the country that, you know, this is the message that I eventually want to get back. So now we're starting to introduce that into our pinnacle wine as well.
I'm sure most people will be happy to see it. I know as a wine drinker, I'll be happy to have it just in a screw cap and not have to look for my corkscrew.
Right. You can get them up. You can get them open in about 3 seconds that way.
And it's so easy. It's maybe not romantic, but, you know, people that say to me, oh, but there's no romance, go and buy yourself a decanter. If you want romance, you can decant the wine. You can make a far bigger show out of decanting the wine than you can with a corkscrew. we can bring in romance otherwise.
That's right.
I was about to say, if someone's idea of romance is opening up a bottle of wine, we have a thing or two to teach them.
We do. And I was thinking if that couple, when they open that third bottle and they don't quite finish it, they can always screw the cap back on and take it home with them.
Exactly. And that's not going to spill.
Where can our listeners find your wine? Are they in grocery stores or do you have to go to wine shops or specialty shops?
We're not a big producer. So you can find Yangara State wines at most of the small independent, the lovely little wine shop that knows their wines and can recommend you little specialty wines. And, we really support those people that and that we can get in front and teach, and so they kind of know our story as well. So definitely those smaller independent places, and some of the restaurants here and there. We're quite unusual for Australian wines that we actually have a lot of our wines at restaurants as well.
I see. Yeah, I'm sure you've got a variety of prices, but give us some ideas.
Probably about $25 to $30 a bottle for our reds. And our whites are somewhere between $20 to $25. You might find them a little specials here and there. And then we have our High Sands Grenache, which is about $80. We only make 4 barrels of that wine.
Oh.
And that gets spread around the world and doesn't go very far. So you can find a little wine like that too. It's a gem, a little collector's little gem. But we don't produce a lot, but it's enough that it's still available, and it's a unique bottle of wine.
Yes, good luck finding that. I'm trying to drink every bottle of High Sands Grenache I get my hands on. So
I
if you can find one,
it.
I'd grab it.
I've never had it. Hint.
Keep dreaming, Michael. I'm going to drink everything I got. Well, Peter, thank you very, very much for taking your time to be part of The Crush, and please know you are always welcome, both in this continent and definitely on this show.
I love coming back, so I'm sure I'll be back soon.
Please do.
When we come back, we will try and focus more on the concept of wine, the joys of the white grape, and of course, calls and emails from you, our loyal listeners.
There's a reason Roush Performance chooses Cooper Tires for their high-performance vehicles. Just ask Cooper Tires technical advisor, Johnny Unser.
Roush tunes vehicles to reach their absolute limits. They need tires that can handle those limits, from handling to durability to safety. That's why they choose Cooper. And that same race-bred technology goes into every Cooper Tire you buy, no matter what you drive.
For more information and to find a dealer near you, visit CooperTire.com. Cooper Tires. Don't give up a thing.
Hey, Mark, have you noticed any of the Spectracide Green Ninjas around the track?
Green Ninjas, Doug?
Yeah, I'm serious. I haven't noticed any weeds or nasty crabgrass. They must have used Spectracide Weed Stop Plus Crabgrass Killer.
You know, I haven't seen any crabgrass.
Using Spectracide is like sending an army of tiny green ninjas to take out the weeds without harming your lawn. You see results in as fast as 8 hours.
Hand me a bottle of Spectracide Weed Stop Plus Crabgrass Killer. I'll get those ninjas in my yard.
Weeds can't hide from Spectracide.
Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, Chad.
What's up?
You know that Cobalt Tools commercial we just did, where I go around fixing things and in the end you ask me to get in the car?
Yeah.
Well, I just got a call from this big Hollywood agent who saw it and wants me to come in and see him.
Wow, that's great. What's he want you to do, star in a movie or something?
No, he wants me to fix a door in his office. What's so funny?
Cobalt tools are so comfortable to use. Once you start working with them, you'll never want to quit. Cobalt, the next generation of tough tools. Available only at Lowe's.
Looking for some good news at the gas pump? Chevy has 7 models that offer an EPA estimated 30 miles per gallon highway or better. From HHR with an EPA estimated 30 MPG highway to the Aveo 5 with an EPA estimated 34 MPG highway and Cobalt XFE with an EPA estimated 36 miles per gallon highway. Chevy's MVPs of MPG based on EPA segmentation. See your local Chevy dealer.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared.
It's like tiny nails in the air poke my lungs.
I start to cough.
Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital.
Today, 1 out of 13 children suffer from some form of asthma, accounting for nearly 1/3 of all emergency room visits.
I feel like I'm choking.
It's kind of like an elephant is on my chest.
A little whistle sound comes out when I breathe.
But while your child may suffer from asthma, asthma doesn't have to make your child suffer. There are simple ways you can prevent your child's next attack. To learn more, call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS. That's 1-866-662-8822. Log on to www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many.
I feel like a fish with no water.
Brought to you by the EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Ambrose.
And today's theme has been white wines, and our phone lines have lit up howling in protest that we have ignored the reds. Never fear, faithful listeners, we will pay homage to red wines in some upcoming show. But let's face facts, there's entirely too much to talk about in the white wine world when it's 100 degrees outside. That definitely merits discussion.
Right.
You know, Michael and I have tried to limit ourselves just to talking about three great white varieties, the Chardonnay, the Pinot Grigio, and the Riesling. But ultimately, you can't get it all into one show.
No, that's for sure.
You can't stuff 10 pounds of things into a 5-pound bag, which leads us, for you red wine drinkers, you're just going to have to bear with us because we're definitely going to have to roll this into another version of the Crush.
Yeah.
In past, we talk about white wine and whether it can age or not. As a fluke, I had ordered a bottle of Chateau Montelena Chardonnay the other night. I am a Montelena Napa Valley fan. I wound up getting an 01 Chardonnay instead of a 2004 Chardonnay.
Right.
It was absolutely exceptional. So for those of you who are going to email and call us with questions about aging white wine, no, it is not something I would recommend on your Chardonnays. But if you happen to stumble upon a bottle of one of the great Napa Valley Chardonnays, it never hurts to give it a try.
Yeah, and Chateau Montelena, the one that you named, is particularly good for that. It really doesn't go through malolactic fermentation. There's almost very, very little oak barrel aging in it. It's very crisp, nice acidity, and it does age well.
Yes, it did, without a doubt. Actually, touching on, we have another quick question popping up on our screen as we talk about white wines. And people ask us, how does oak affect white wines? And I think, you know, you definitely hear about oak and red wines, but I think it affects the taste and flavors of white wines much more than it does reds.
I agree with you.
So when people are talking about oak and white wine, when you get that lovely vanilla flavor, that is what a little bit of oak can do. If you feel like you're chewing on a baseball bat,
that's what a lot of oak can
do. That's what a lot of oak can do. And I think you'll find a lot of California Australian Chardonnays are finally backing away from the over-oaked flavors that we saw 10 years ago. So definitely branch out. Look for Russian River Chardonnays. Look for Santa Barbara Chardonnays. And you can finally start getting the taste of the grape.
Yeah.
I have talked about white wine all the way into the last seconds of the show. So in closing, just remember, sip socially, drink responsibly, and as always, in vino veritas, in wine, there is truth. I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Ambrose.
We'll talk to you next week.